Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, all right. The playoffs are upon us. It's about freaking time. It really is. Do you see how good Kevin Durant looked last night? I did too. Plays nicely into the little theme that Matt Stiemann set for the show the other week. I think we're going to see it all the way through. I really do. Matt, what do you think?
I'm telling you, Damon, if game one of the playoffs occurs and we look at Kevin Durant and say he looks pretty good, I think it's over.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. 67 wins, the one seed, and healthy as an ox. Those are three things that I was kind of looking for this time of year, and those are three things we got. Warriors, Gianna, and my professional sports talking experience, I am here to tell you and anyone listening, Warriors are in good position. I got it all my charts and graphs last night. I had a Venn diagram that supported this theory, too. Ran it past a couple of different metrics.
Wow, you did your homework.
Really. I was deep into that information last night. And turns out they're really, really good.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
Thank you. I see you've been studying hard, too.
100%. Watching the games. That's my studying.
I mean, the eyeball test is really all you need. It's something that Kerry said, Kerry Keating, throughout the year. You know, if you really want to appreciate who the Warriors are and how good the Warriors are, you go ahead and watch a game that the Warriors aren't even playing in. It's the difference between varsity, junior varsity. It's the difference between watching a car race and guys just driving around a block. Like, it's just...
It's true.
It's a whole different speed, a whole different skill level, and now... Here it comes, baby. The bench has elevated its game. McCaw, Clark, JaVale, West, McAdoo, they're all playing very well. Matt Barnes at some point here is just going to come back as frosting. Like, Matt Barnes is just going to be a little, he's healthy and ready to go in case you need him frosting. That sounds pretty good. Kerr and his staff have all the time that they need to figure out whatever Portland might have to throw against them. By the way, if you didn't like rest, you're not going to like the first round of the NBA playoffs because it's basically rest for everyone all the time, almost every night, unless they're playing. Mm-hmm. The Warriors open on Sunday.
Gugh. I know. What's going to happen on Easter?
Nothing. Warriors basketball is what's going to happen.
But look, this is still flying home early, right?
Yes, Jillian's still flying home. We're going to figure it out.
Oops.
Yeah, I think we're just going to call it the resurrection's off this year, as far as we're concerned. We're not going to be able to do anything up in Napa. We're not going to go hang out with our friends. But that whatever, you know.
Oh, I just rescheduled the Easter egg hunt for Saturday.
Smart.
It's okay.
Smart.
You're not alone.
So we do have Warrior basketball. It's coming up on Sunday, and then they don't play again until Wednesday, and then they don't play again until Saturday in Portland. I mean, you can honestly fit a Winter Olympiad in the time that it takes to play the first round of the NBA Finals. And why is it? Well, of course, it has to do with TV dollars. There's a lot of partners that you want to keep happy. Everyone wants a slice of TV time. Everyone wants to appear at least once in prime time. Everyone wants an ABC game. Everyone wants, it's the most amount of basketball you're going to have in the playoffs. That first round, they want to put a few games in the highlight spotlight every night. And, I mean, if you're a basketball junkie, I guess you're going to be really happy over the next 2 weeks because you're going to have an NBA playoff game on your tube starting Sunday basically every day of the week for the next 2 weeks. Like, that's cool. I like that an awful lot. Boy, you sweep somebody, though. You got a lot of time to wait around. You know, there's a little rest rust, I should say. You think rest is an issue? What about rust? We'll find out. Rest was the most covered NBA player. He played for every team. He was covered. He was in every article. He was in every story. So whoever Rest is, that guy He has a big impact on this league, and he's going to get plenty of time to rest in between all of these games. So everyone should have their best punch ready to go. And look, that's what we want. That is what we want. We want this team to be at full strength. We want that team to be at full strength. And let's play great basketball. We will spend almost no time. As a matter of fact, the only time we're going to spend on this is right now. This is outrage du jour served up by a Trailblazer broadcaster, not Damian Lillard.
Blazers in six or seven. Blazers in six. Blazers in six. That confident.
Oh, that confident. Duh. Who is that guy putting their star player in a bad position? Who's it? Hi, Damian. Do you think you're going to go ahead and beat the Golden State Warriors in five, six, or seven? What the hell is a guy supposed to say? Of course he says, yeah, I like us in six. Oh, you're that confident, are you?
He set him up.
And then you've got the world of blogging idiots, the world of, oh, that take is just the super hottest take I've seen in a long time. Like, all of those people, they're not interested in context. If they were selling context, it would kill their clicks. So Lillard says Blazers in six is the highlight, and people are commenting on it. Never mind that he was asked almost jokingly by a team broadcaster, and he laughed after he said it. What's he supposed to say? I love Dame Lillard. That's one of my favorite players in all of sports, much less basketball. I love everything he stands for. I love the thing that he did at his high school for all the kids, bringing in the Fetty Wap. Brought in the Fetty Wap. The kids love the Fetty Wap. You know, he launched his sneaker party there. People tried to poke holes in that. They were just having a good time. That's cool. What a way to set up your superstar to get tripped over the internet.
Yeah.
What the hell is that? By the way, you might think that I buried the lead. And honestly, what I paid attention to last night, I guess you could say I did bury the lead. Dansky? Anyone? Dansky? Helper? Dansko didn't scar. But he had an assist. Dansky!
He throws own play. Let's see what Donskoy does with it. He's across the line, drops it backwards to Burns again on the point. He shoots wide. Down to 8 seconds on the power play. One last chance. Donskoy behind the net. Donskoy goes for the wrap. They score! Joel Ward in the front of the net gets that feed from Donskoy on the wraparound attempt. And with 3 seconds left in the power play, the Sharks are on the board.
Donskoy!
Neutral zone play.
I want to hear it again.
Let's see what Donskoy does with it.
Let's see what Donskoy does with it. Donskoy doesn't do anything throughout the entire regular season. Playoff start. Donskoy! That was a hell of a hockey game last night, San Jose Sharks. See, here's the deal. When you stunk in that first period, I didn't watch any of it. I was coming home from the Warrior game. I didn't get to see the first period. I didn't get to see the 2-0 hole you dug for yourself. So I just sat down about midway through that second period. And if I knew nothing about this series and you told me, well, one of these teams is all banged up and their two best players are hurt, and one of these teams is actually being coached by the ex-team's old coach and has inside working knowledge of everything that's going on. And one more thing. What is it? Oh, yeah. This building is off of its rocker because it's the first time they played in the playoffs here since 2006. Canada, oh, Canada, oh, Canada. If you would have blindfolded me and said, which one of these teams is under the better circumstances? The Sharks looked like the team that everybody picked to win this series, not lose it. They skated their asses off against Edmonton last night from the mid-second period through the overtime game winner, which had nothing to do with Donskoy. But we liked it nonetheless.
Vlasic rims it around. Pavelski headmans. Here's a chance. Carlson moving and shoots. He scores! Melker Carlson in overtime wins it for the Sharks. San Jose 3, Edmonton 2. The Sharks lead 1-0 in the best of 7 series.
Rizanowski. K-Fox. What a great, great, great start for the Sharks, who I thought were showing up dead on arrival. No one was picking them, and that's why yesterday I said I like them.
And look what happened.
That's guy! There will be more. It's coming. By the way, Randy Hahn also had a great game winner.
Here's Carlson in on goal. Score!
Seriously, when Jillian gets home, I'm going to roll over in bed one night and just be like,
Danskoy? Would you like a little Danskoy? Skirt!
So, look, I this was fantastic, man. That was just fantastic. What a great start. What an unexpected performance. The Sharks looked angry. The Sharks looked good last night. The Sharks just, look, I mean, they controlled the tempo of every single shift that I saw from about that second period on. I don't know what's going on in the control room, but Albie and Button Vixen are high-fiving in there. Danskoy?
Pretty much.
Very nice. I tell you, man, that is fantastic. What a good start.
It was a good night.
It was a fun. How about, you know what? We didn't acknowledge this. I totally, sometimes I get home and I'm like, how did I not bring that up on the show? I had dropped the ball there. It was the rare night. We only get a handful of these a year. True. Where all four teams are playing together, A's, Giants, Sharks, and Warriors, and they swept it last night. Yep. Everyone won last night.
That's good.
Everyone won. By the way, I did, Elena, get you the Warrior shirt that they put. Here's the thing. So you walk into a stadium, and there's 18,000 T-shirts on the back of 18,000 chairs. How would you go about getting a T-shirt? Just gaffle one off the chair when no one's looking, right, and walk? I didn't do that because I didn't want to deny a fan their free T-shirt.
Well, that was very nice of
you. Thank you. So what I
did? I'd be mad if I was that fan.
Thanks so much to Matt in Warriors PR. Matt helped us out last night, sent me back, gave me a couple T-shirts. Well, you know what the T-shirts are? The T-shirts are homages to the Midnight Marauders album cover, Tribe Called Quest. They've got on that album cover, you had the dancing Tribe Called Quest girl, you know, the red, green, black stripe, you know, their iconic figure. And then she was surrounded by all these artist renderings of, like, all three Beastie Boys are on it. Like, you know, all sorts of hip-hop artists around the Bay Area. They got, you know, they got Brand Nubian on there. They got everyone who was in... Native Tongues. Everyone's in there. They got MC Light on the cover. Like, it's just, it's cool. Everyone who didn't make the cover was like, oh man, we wish we were on the album cover. And that's the way everyone is feeling about this T-shirt. Like, oh man, how did that person not get on the T-shirt? The top line is all five starters. Then you start getting, there's like a Jim Barnett in there. They got dancing sweater grandma, Christmas sweater lady.
Oh, that's cool.
She made the T-shirt. Let's see. Who else is on that T-shirt? A couple dance team members. I was surprised. No Roz. I was surprised that Roz didn't make. Yeah, the guy who wears the glitter gold suit and stands up with stink face and dances. He's in there. I love that guy, by the way. And I'll tell you, it's one of the cooler T-shirt giveaways they've ever done. So I actually gaffled a couple T-shirts for you without full gaffle. It was approved gaffling, and so I've got them for you, and of course forgot them at home today. So as long as the dog doesn't eat them, I'll bring them in tomorrow, and you can enjoy it at that time. No, it's not macadamia nuts from Hawaii, which never made it in, and you didn't get yours, and Gianna didn't get theirs.
Never got
and
mine.
I ate them all. You didn't get nothing.
No.
Hey, you know what? It's the thought that counts. You ingrates?
Exactly. The thought that counts.
I thought enough of you to get you a souvenir, and then I thought not enough of you to make sure it left my kitchen when it was really, like, it. I got you souvenirs from Hawaii. It was bringing them from my place on Turk. Sorry about that. You would have loved them. They were delicious. A's and Royals coming up in an hour from now. Chris Townsend is stepping on in for a little A's dugout show. We're going to have David Forst joining us. David Forst now has a sponsor. How about that? You get off to a good start, you get a sponsor. David Forst will be, the Forst Report will be brought to us by the Premier Kia of Newark, online at premierkiaofnewark.com. Obviously, the A's are off to a real nice start, but we got that saying, the saying that I hate. Nothing robs fans of enthusiasm more than that phrase. Hey, are you excited about the week of baseball that your team is having? Well, it's tomorrow's championship. Don't be doing that. You can only get excited about your month, your team in 1 month clips at a time, which means you're allowed six times of excitement all year long because you have a full month to go over. Look, who knows when David's really going to begin his evaluation process? But he's got to be happy with what he's seeing right now. The A's are looking for a sweep in Kansas City tonight. Big game for Jesse Hahn tonight, who is trying to prove his mettle back in that starting rotation. Giants, meanwhile, they get Madison Bumgarner's season debut at AT&T Park tonight against John Gray. The Rockies are in town to take on the Giants. We talked about how the Giants, who've been getting away with playoff murder or the equivalent thereof for several postseasons in a row, try to get away with it again. And look, if you got a formula that works in sports, it's rinse, wash, repeat until it isn't. I guess you really can't blame the Giants for thinking, man, you know, this is a team that's just made money hand over fist. They're keeping it. They're not putting it back on the field. But look, you get away with murder when you get Marco Scudero and Cody Ross and these guys that really came out of nowhere to play huge roles. And out of nowhere is exactly where they sort of shopped for this year's team. You know, there's not a lot in that outfield. And what they end up doing is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. At least they got this last night. It was a long time coming left field.
Parker drives one. Center field, hit well, and it is off the top of the wall, and two runs are going to score, and Parker's headed to third, and now the Giants have busted it open.
There you go. Dwayne Kuiper with a call on NBC Sports Bay Area. Good to see Parker get that last night. It's at the first hit from left field this season. Felt like it. Look at, how about this? Even if it wasn't, let's just pretend it is, because it might as well been. They've gotten nothing from that position. All the while during the offseason, people are waving red flags going, hey, left field, you got nothing out there. What do you think? They're like, nah, we got it. I don't know. I don't know if you got it. So Madison Bumgarner, he needs to hit at least two home runs in all of his starts to make sure that he gets the run support in order to win. As a matter of fact, he's done that once and still didn't have enough run support to win. How this guy doesn't have a win already this year is a crime. Absolute crime. One more thing that officially deserves a little opening monologue attention and consideration. I guess we could start with John Madden on Sirius XM radio talking about the Raiders.
I was, you know, as you say, I was jolted by it. I didn't think that that would happen. Maybe this is just me, you know, being oversensitive, but doggone it. I mean, if you're going to go, that's really tough, but leave us something. Leave us something here in Oakland, please. I would hate to be a coach to take a team in there. I would hate to have my team be in Las Vegas on Saturday night before the game. And I'm not sure that they have that whole deal together yet. I'm not sure that they even know exactly, you know, what the stadium is, how many, where it's going to be, and all those things. There'll be no more Oakland Raiders. There'll be no more history of the Oakland Raiders. And that really bothers me. I mean, that just, boom, it just goes away.
How about that? John Madden. Not happy with the relocation. I mean, what does he know about managing a player? Did he ever coach a team that was full of the biggest wild childs in the history of the NFL, all assembled under one team, one roof? Like, that's who he had as a team. John Madden's Raiders, if they had played in Vegas, would have killed several people every night. Just trying to drink with them. Like, not even physically assaulting anyone. There's people just hanging out with John Matuszak would be falling into the strip. Just poof, 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 poof. By the way, did you hear Madden at the end of that? Give you a little, boom, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Like it was, oh man, I thought he was doing a game on CBS again there for a second. So there's that, but that's really not what we have for the Raiders today. I mean, of course, everyone involved with this is sour grapes about them relocating. What no one's sour grapes about would be if sour Skittles were added. I like the sour Skittles. I'm not afraid. I like Sour Patch Kids.
Sour gummies.
Sour gummies, and I like sour Skittles, and I like Marshawn Lynch in silver and black. Why the hell not? Go ahead, do it. Both parties are talking. It's officially on, like Kirk Morrison told me yesterday when he said that Marshawn's working out and he's not fooling around and he's throwing a medicine ball. He's not trying to get, like, beach body shape. He's not doing this because he's going to be on Bear Grylls' show again, trying to get a duck boar off of a ridge. Did you see that? They sent him down the side of a cliff on a rope. Marshawn was very uncomfortable. He gets whatever he needs from the boar. They cut to the two of them talking about it, and Marshawn's basically threatening the host of his own show. He's like, I'll put these hands on you. You make me do something like that with a boar again. That was awesome. Oh, look, I don't know what Marshawn has left to give, but I think it's going to be significant enough where the Raiders would want to see. All systems seem to be go, considering a good, healthy working relationship between John Snyder of the Seahawks and Reggie McKenzie. Let's get it done, and let's get him a weekly on the Damon Bruce Show. I'm all about that action, boss. I really am. How about Marshawn as a weekly?
That would be very cool.
I won't make him hunt a boar once.
We promise.
I swear to God. All guests at the Damon Bruce Show are guaranteed no physical activity.
No boar hunting.
No boar
You're
hunting.
Safe here.
Let's take a couple calls before David Force joins us at 3:30. This is John in Concord, excited about the Sharks picking one up last night. John, Donskoy, Concord, what's up?
You do that great. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I grew up in the Northwest. I'm 60 years old, and I've watched hockey. Stan Mikita, the Espositos, all the great players. But one thing about last night in the game, you know, I was kind of bummed when McClellan left, but this DeBoer guy, or however you say the guy's name, he gets the maximum out of every guy, and they seem to have fun doing it. But last night proved that experience pays off in hockey. But this is the best thing. About 5 years ago on this show, somebody called up, and they were someplace way up in Canada, and said they were at a junior hockey game, and the goalie got cut really bad. Instead of skating off the ice, he's bleeding all over his stick. Make sure he gets all the blood on there, and skates by the other team, and he's licking the blood off his stick. I told my wife last night, all those guys on the hockey team can hit a golf ball, they can dunk a basketball or shoot a basketball, hit a baseball. If you put Kevin Durant on skates, that would be pretty funny. But you got to give it to the hockey players.
I think the point of your call here, John, is hockey players are tough, and I would agree with you. Kevin Durant getting on a rink has nothing to do with this, so let's just forget about that. By the way, Kevin Durant on a rink would be about 7'5"
with the skates, and
six 11 and a half in your program, 7'3" on skates. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, hockey players, you could throw a hockey player through a plain glass window, they're going to come out fully dressed, ready to play every single time. There is a different breed there. You basically had Logan Couture skating around, and he's still spitting teeth out from when he got, what, 5, 6, 7 knocked out of his grill? Yeah, how weird that's got to be. You know how active I guarantee you the only thing more active than his feet and the skates are his tongue. He's got to be licking his own gums and
try. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you just get your teeth cleaned by a dentist the whole day, you're like.
You are.
Imagine if you have no teeth and you're just like. I bet you could whistle for a dog, like, really well. like he's got a really good dog whistle right now. No teeth getting in the way. So. David Forst, A's general manager, has got to be happy with his start. We got certainly a Sonny Gray update to get from him. I know that he threw today. That's what I heard Susan say on the Afternoon Delight, so we will check in with him. We are going to go ahead and take more of your calls. We're on until 4:15 this afternoon, ahead of a little A's and Royals as Oakland goes for the sweep of Kansas City. And before it's all said and done, Mo Harkless, shoot your shot. We'll break down your decisions. I love Mo Harkless today, and you probably will too after you hear this. So stick around. A lot coming up. Don't you go anywhere. David Forst, A's general manager, joins me next here on 95.7 The Game.
Delivers a ground ball to the hole and a base hit to left field for Rajay Davis, and the A's lead 5-0. Healy scores from third. Going to second is Plouffe, and Rajay picks on the first pitch and gives the A's a 5-0 lead.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. Good to have you along this afternoon, and it's great to welcome back A's general manager David Forst. Team off to a very, very good start this year, and looking for a sweep this afternoon in Kansas City. Our coverage of A's baseball begins with Chris Townsend in the Dugout Show coming up at 4:15 this afternoon. David, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Damon. Thanks for having me.
All arrows pointing up. And can we talk about the tarps coming off what I'm now calling the Cavalseum? I mean, come on, man. Dave Cavill strikes again. I'm glad you guys are getting rid of the tarps. A little atmosphere, a great purchase price, $15 to get in. It's cheaper to go to an A's game than it is an IMAX movie now.
Yeah, well, it's something Dave has talked about since he came on in November, and I know he was excited. Actually, I saw a little bit of his Facebook video the other day, but if you call up the Cavalseum, we might have to get him a separate office. His head's going to get too big.
Well, I tell you, bravo to what is happening off the field and at the field. Your business is what's happening on the field, and right now you've won three of your last four. The pitching carried you on Monday. You busted out a little lumber yesterday, and now you're looking for brooms in Kansas City. Big start for Jesse Hahn. Big opportunity for him tonight. What are you expecting to see from him?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Jesse knows the opportunity is in front of him. Obviously came out of the bullpen last week in Texas and did a nice job for six innings. So this is a guy who, you know, has been up and down, we haven't seen the form that he showed in 2015. And I hope he grabs it by the horns, because we could use another starting pitcher to go along with these guys who've pitched so well.
There's no doubt about it. And there's been some great pitching. You got to like it when Pedro Martinez starts comparing Jarrell Cotton to himself. Like, that's a pretty good starting point for a career, wouldn't you say?
That was pretty cool. I have to say, I had a writer text me during that game and say, hey, he looks a little bit like Pedro, no? And I kind of stayed away. I was like, well, you don't want to stick Jarrell with that comparison. And then all of a sudden, the man himself comes out on Twitter and says it. So I know Jarrell got a kick out of it. And, yeah, how can you argue with that guy?
I bet it's a wonderful compliment. And right now, you know, Kendall Graveman's throwing the kind of ball that might make, ace of the staff a tough thing for Sonny to just wrestle back from him. That's how good he looks. We'll get to Sonny in the rehab in just a second, but you got to be head over heels with Graveman's start.
Yeah, Kendall's been great. And that, you know, the one time you and I talked during the spring, we talked about how well he was throwing the ball, and it's just carried over into his two starts so far. And you see the added velocity when he's pitching at, you know, 95, 96, and his ball has the action that it has on it. I mean, he's throwing 90% fastballs, and it's just because that pitch in itself is so hard to hit.
You know, we got the closer by committee. Is the committee settling down? Are things coming into focus in the back of your bullpen? Have you and Bob talk about directions, what you like, matchups? How are you going to play it?
You and I talk about this more than Bob and I do.
Okay.
It's been great. I mean, worked out the other night with Casilla in the eighth against Kansas City, and then Duke came in the ninth. And, it's not a huge topic. I think these guys have been really selfless and understood when Bob said, hey, we're gonna pitch you where we think it makes the most sense. And everyone's done a nice job.
A's general manager David Forst here on 95.7 The Game. So I saw that Melvin dropped Ryan Healy to sixth in the batting order, and it automatically pays off. He goes 2-for-4. He has a double. He's got a walk. What is it about batting order that you think puts pressure on a hitter in certain spots or takes pressure off a hitter in other spots?
I think there's something to it, in that, you know, particularly either in the leadoff spot or in those 3-4 slots, guys have a tendency to put expectations on themselves. And, you know, we've seen it a little bit with Raj going from 1 to 9. We saw it with Ryan the other day dropping down to 6. And it maybe just lets these guys relax a little bit and realize there's 8 other guys in the lineup that can help them out. They don't have to hit a 6-run homer every time up.
As you're looking at everything, you know, you're getting the game results back, you're talking to your coaches, you're talking to Bob, maybe talking to me even more than him. I've been saying, David, the phrase small sample size has been robbing baseball fans of any temporary enthusiasm since 2009. Like, I understand why it's said, but I just kind of hate it because it doesn't allow you to get excited about, you know, hey, a good couple of weeks of baseball. When do you really start assessing what you're seeing and what you have and what you're comfortable with and what you need more of?
Well, I think there are two separate things there. One is assessing, and that's something that goes on over the course of the season. But there's no reason not to be excited. When Jarrell goes out and pitches like that, and Andrew Triggs goes 2 starts without giving up an earned run, and we talked about Kendall and Chris hit some homers, those are definitely things to be excited about. We get excited about them. I would be shocked if fans don't get excited about them. So I don't think you have to temper enthusiasm because of small sample size, because what you're seeing out there is a lot of fun right now.
It is. It really is. And, you know, Andrew Triggs, you asked him to cut down on the walks, and he did. You should just ask Chris Davis to hit you 55 home runs. Maybe he will.
If it were that easy, Damon, if only.
What was the difference, though, in the successful outings that he's had and the struggles that he's had with? Is it repeat of delivery? Is it arm slotting? What allows Triggs to get loosey-goosey, and what did he do to tighten it up?
Some of it is just believing that he can start. I mean, look, we sort of threw him into that role last season out of necessity, and he may have even surprised himself at what he was capable of doing, because it had been a long time since he started. But we went into the spring this year, told Andrew, you're going to be a starter. You know, you're a candidate to make the club. And I think he's increasingly comfortable out there. And part of that is his ability to throw strikes. If he can command the fastball on both sides of the plate, it makes a huge difference as to how he uses his whole arsenal. And, last night it was fun to watch.
A's GM David Forrest here on the Damon Brews Show. Let's get to Sonny. I know he's been throwing to hitters this week. I heard Susan on the Afternoon Delight said he threw again today. What can you tell us?
Yeah, he went out and threw two basically simulated innings there in Kansas City facing a couple different hitters. Velocity was great. He's touching 92 and 93 in these simulated games. So you assume once the adrenaline of some real action kicks in, his velo is going to be where you expect it to be. And, the next step for him is probably going out and I would guess extended spring. They're playing games down there. It's a controlled enough environment that you can work his pitch count up, work in the number of innings. And I would think in the next 4 or 5 days, he'll probably head down to Arizona for some game action and then out on some rehab starts.
Besides the Dave Cavill monument that they're working on for downtown Oakland, what's been your biggest surprise through the first 9 games?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the innings we're getting out of our starting pitching. I mean, we broke camp with 8 relievers, particularly because we thought, we might need some bulk out of those guys, and that we had some untested starters who we might see 4 1/3 here or 5 1/3 there. But we've seen some starters go deep in games. I mean, Jarrell won a career-high 7. Kendall's given us good outings. The start on Friday where Alcantara got knocked out early, even having a Jesse Hahn come in and you get 8 innings out of 2 guys, it's given the bullpen some rest, and it's really allowed us to kind of relax more on the pitching moves, which has been nice. We've only, knock on wood, we've only made 1 player move all year, and that was when Axe came up with a sore lat. But that's been nice to not have to go into every day worrying about where our innings are going to come from.
Yeah, I'm imagining that is pretty nice for a baseball team. I appreciate it, David. Thank you very much again. Real nice start for the A's. It's going to be a different-looking, upper-deck-occupied Coliseum when Graveman takes the ball Friday against the Astros. Good luck against the Royals this afternoon. Sweep them up.
Thanks, Damon. We'll try and keep it up for another positive conversation next Thursday.
Thank you very much. David Forrest, A's general manager, by the way. His appearances driven by the all-new Premier of Kia of Newark, online at premierkiaofnewark.com. The weirdest story about Eli Manning that I absolutely need to proofread one more time before we talk about it. The curious case of Eli Manning and a shocking story about fake and phony merchandise is coming across the wire. We'll give you that when we come on back, and we'll also let you know how you could possibly win Warrior playoff tickets tomorrow on the Damon Brews Show. Stay tuned. All right, let's start with what I think is the biggest, most important story here in the Bay Area, and then we'll hop into this Eli Manning story, which is just extraordinary based on the fact looks like he's been caught red-handed trying to sell game-used memorabilia that was not used in a game.
Yeah.
Very weird.
It's a really interesting article.
Very, very weird. We'll get to that in just a second. More importantly, Warriors playoff tickets are a hard and expensive thing to come by.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a pair. We've got a pair of Warriors tickets that we are going to give away tomorrow, Gianna. And we were pretty excited about that. They're a pair of upper deck tickets, but you're going. If you win them, you're in for free.
You're in the building.
I mean, it is not an in for free situation for many people. So the pair of tickets that we're going to give away tomorrow will be given away randomly throughout the show. And what we want to do is give it to someone who's going to be listening to the show tomorrow. And here's what we came up with. how will we give away these tickets? And I said, well, what if we made Tim Roy drop a ton of acid and then do a sounder for us? And they said, well, we could probably just do that electronically without getting Tim the drugs. And I said, but wouldn't that be more fun? And they insisted, it's probably not the right thing to do. So I said, okay, with the power of electronics, I want you to make Tim Roy sound like he's on acid. And here's what we got.
Oh my goodness.
So when you hear that tomorrow, when you hear the Tim Roy might be on acid sounder tomorrow, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the first person who calls in when they hear that tomorrow.
The very first person.
Well, maybe we'll make it a little bit more elaborate. But when you hear this tomorrow.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, I just had a flashback myself. Tim Roy on acid could get you to a Warriors game this Easter Sunday. Should we do something like cute for Easter? I'm like, no, put Tim on acid.
Oh my goodness.
So,
perfect.
When you hear that tomorrow, and that could come during the opening monologue right at 3 o'clock, although if you were hoping to use tickets to bolster your audience, giving them away during the opening monologue would probably be a stupid thing to do. So I'm just going to tell you we're not going to give them right away at 3.
So, but still listen, because other than that, we could change our mind.
Right, and what you should be listening for is this.
Oh my goodness.
What's weird is I've already had a request here on the Penske Auto sales.com text line to have that and use as a ringtone.
Pretty great.
No. We're not giving that one away. That's our Tim Roy on acid. Get your own.
A few questions, too, have popped up about, like, where to watch the games and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, you can listen here at 957thegame.com, but the full schedule is on our website as well. So hop on there and you can get all that info.
I like that. By the way, Damon, that doesn't sound like Tim Roy's on acid. It sounds like I'm on shrooms. Text line. One more time.
Oh my goodness.
Tomorrow when you hear that, you're going to want to call 888-957-9570 and you could be going to the playoff game, the playoff opener against the Trailblazers on Sunday. So stay tuned tomorrow. It's going to be a fun show. So this is just a weird story. I mean, there's no other way around it. I'm going to have to just read it to you. We got this off of ESPN.com. Is that where you printed this off of? Albie, where'd you get this from? Do you know? Because it didn't come out here. I don't have a buy. I don't have a source. As a giant New York Giant website, that's close enough for our business. Who are we kidding?
It's everywhere now, too. The Post, Daily News, Bleacher Report.
In an absolutely unexpected bombshell, it's been revealed that Giants quarterback Eli Manning was allegedly involved in the team's accused fake memorabilia scheme. I got to be totally honest with you. I didn't realize that there was a New York Giants fake memorabilia scheme. The news had not made my timeline. This is the first I'm hearing about any of it. I didn't even know that there was anything going on.
Well, it's been going out since 2014. But it hasn't really been
the New York
reported
Giants,
much.
The New York Giants are basically since the day they were born, boring football team. They're just boring. So I don't watch much. And yeah, I know. Odell Beckham. Anyway, in a set of court documents obtained by the New York Post, an old AOL email from Manning to an official NFL email address requested helmets that can pass is game used. So they're looking for battle scars.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for helmets that have been through practice, not brand new, shiny, out of the box, Eli autographed it. They want to pass these things off, apparently, as game-worn memorabilia. Giants quarterback Eli Manning, in on the scheme to sell phony game-worn gear, sending an email asking the team's equipment manager for helmets that can pass as game-used, according to Blockbuster court papers obtained by the Post. The legal filing also alleges that Big Blue failed to produce the smoking gun request sent from Manning's old school AOL account to an official NFL account, even though they claim to have no documented destruction policy. I don't even know what that means. The email records, the email records also include an alleged exchange with Manning's market agent, Alan Zucker, requesting two game-used jerseys and two game-used helmets. Giants equipment director John Skiba responded to the inquiry, apparently saying to Manning, "Let me know what you're looking for and I'll try to get something down for you." Manning reportedly replied simply, "Helmets that can pass as game used." Two helmets that can pass as game used. That's it, Eli. That's what Eli apparently responded from his BlackBerry at 2:08 p.m. Less than 15 minutes later, Manning wrote back to Zucker saying, "Should be able to get them for tomorrow." "Thanks, Eli," Zucker responded. The plaintiff's lawyer, Brian Brook, released the following statement. Manning was looking to give non-game-used helmets to Steiner to satisfy, fraudulently, his contractual obligation. Since it appears the Giants failed to preserve by email any email between Manning and Joe Skiba, the Giants are keeping Skiba on the payroll and paying him substantial legal bills. The above email exchange may be the only direct evidence that Manning knowingly gave fraud helmets to Steiner for sale to fans. The latest revelations lend at least some credence to Eric Eiselberg's earlier claim that Manning was aware of fake memorabilia scheme and had been working with Skiba to produce it. Because of the ongoing litigation, Manning and Giants and Steiner Sports have not yet provided comment to the New York Post or any other media outlet. First of all, we got BlackBerries and we got an AOL account involved. So you just know that the people are not exactly technological, up-to-date, state-of-the-art wunderkinds.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just so surprised. I mean, what do you think Eli's cut of anything is, or his look at it this way. I don't need to know what it is to tell you that it is insignificant compared to the amount of money he's made playing quarterback, to the amount of money his brother could lend him, to the amount of money his father could lend him if money were a problem anywhere in the Eli Manning household. It is preposterous to think that this guy would be passing off fake merch. Oh, first of all, how much actual game-worn merchandise can you guarantee in any year? I'm no major. No math major, but I would say there are 16 instances where you have game-worn merchandise. 16 regular season games, and obviously the playoff stuff is all authenticated right there. But it's not like you're wearing two different helmets, two different jerseys. Maybe some guys do. Maybe guys do change their jerseys at halftime so they get two game-worn, official game-worn jerseys. But then it's not an official game-worn jersey. You only wear it for half the game. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems weird that he would be involved. I mean, if it was for, I wouldn't understand if it was for a financial purpose, because I can't imagine.
I could see how the guy working in the equipment room would do something like this. You know, he's only making $72,000 a year and he wants to goose the income a little bit. And who has better access to this stuff than you, sir? You know, that sort of thing. Like someone here on the text line saying, "Who cares?" Well, again, I'm not saying that this should ruin your day or change your life, but it's an amazing story because we basically have. I always think it's interesting when you find out that it was the millionaire robbing the penny dish at the convenience store.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the millionaire's the guy who's been robbing the pennies? Like, I can't believe that. Really?
Not who I would have thought.
I look at it this way. I'm a little disappointed in them Manning boys. There's no other way to say it. You know who will not be winning the tickets tomorrow? Eli Manning.
Oh my goodness.
When you hear that tomorrow, be caller number, how about caller number 35 for Kevin Durant? Just give Albie a hellish afternoon. Hi, caller number one, sorry. Caller number two, sorry. Caller number three, sorry. We'll get Gary, the new intern, on that. Gary, can you count to 30? Greg, how about that? Greg, even better. Gerald, what do you think? 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got one more segment left. We're going to take you to 415. That's when our buddy Chris Townsend is going to stop on in and take you through the A's dugout show. That comes up. Chance to sweep the Kansas City Royals today. So stay tuned. We got an awful lot in just 15 more minutes left. We'll make it worth your while, I promise you, here on the Damon Bruce Show. Great to be with you here this Thursday. We got about 15 more minutes together soon. Chris Townsend comes on by with the A's Dugout Show. Oakland looking for a sweep in Kansas City, and Jesse Hahn making his first start of 2017. He has appeared out of the bullpen with an ERA of 3. He takes on Jason Vargas, who is off to a really good start, 1-0, 1.50 ERA. Again, A's looking for a sweep in KC. Melvin, by the way, dropped Ryan Healy in the batting order, instantly got production out of him. Vargas, 7-7 lifetime with an ERA over 3.22 against the A's. So this should be a good one coming here from Kauffman. They'll be home tomorrow. And let's see. We got A's baseball, what, Friday, right? Friday. Yeah, that's tomorrow, by the way. Tomorrow is Friday. How about that? Madison Bumgarner makes his debut at AT&T Park tonight. So we've got our eye on that. There are three different NHL playoff games going on tonight. The Maple Leafs against the Caps, Predators, and Blackhawks get that series underway. Blackhawks are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. Flames and Ducks also getting underway. One thing we learned last night, home ice does not mean very much. Home ice no longer means a lot in hockey. It used to mean a lot, you know, when they were playing on asymmetrical rinks in buildings that didn't have standardized ice. You knew where the bad ice was always waiting for you. There was terrible ice at Madison Square Garden. Historically, very slushy ice in San Jose. Slushy ice has been known to find. Now everyone's got the same sort of technology to get their rinks set up. There's no more little quirks. You know, the Boston Bruins used to play on a rink that was literally smaller than an official NHL-sized rink. I mean, like, there were little wrinkles around these old barns that gave certain surfaces distinct advantages to the players who understood them. Now everything's just kind of cookie cutter the same. The crowds, obviously, are always pulling for the home team. I don't know how much you caught of Sharks and Oilers last night. Sharks and Oilers, does everyone who was sitting in that building in Edmonton last night, does everyone wearing an Oilers jersey? If they were 19,000 people there, 18,999 were wearing an Oilers jersey. Like, God almighty, they wanted that so bad. And after going down 2-0, they get their first goal with a helper from that guy, who, by the way, listen to this. What if I told you today was Jonas Donskoy's birthday? Would you believe me? It is.
Is it?
It's Donskoy's birthday, Scar! Donskoy, Scar! Donskoy, candles, blow them out, Scar!
Neutral zone play, let's see what Donskoy does with it. He's across the line, drops it backwards to Burns again on the point. He shoots, wide. Down to 8 seconds on the power play. One last chance. Donskoy behind the net, goes for the wrap in front, they score!
Donskoy!
Joel Ward in the front of the net, gets that feed from Donskoy on the wraparound attempt, and with 3 seconds left in the power play, the Sharks are on the board.
That was a good call, Dan Rusinowski. Here's an even better one in overtime.
Vlasic rims it around. Pavelski headmans. Here's a chance. Carlson moving in, shoots. He scores! Melker Carlson in overtime wins it for the Sharks. San Jose 3, Edmonton 2. The Sharks lead 1-0 in the best of 7 series.
Boom, that's how it sounded on the radio over on NBC Sports. Randy Hahn.
Here's Carlson in on goal. Scores!
Happy birthday, Jonas Donskoy. Let's see if they can pick it up. Tomorrow night is game 2, 7:30, over on K-Fox. Someone says here, Damon, look, you know, home ice, it's pretty important. You still get that last face-off. It is significant. It wasn't in on the first night of the playoffs. There were 5 games last night, Gianna, 5 games to open up Stanley Cup play. The visiting team, including the Sharks, won 4 different times. Only the Pittsburgh Penguins won at home last night. So we'll see if that trend continues tonight. But home ice, just, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. And because I just have a request here. Damon, do you think you can sing Donskoy happy birthday?
Please do.
Happy birthday to ya! Happy birthday to you!
Happy birthday, Jonas Donskoy. Skr. Happy birthday to you. Skr.
How was that?
That was very good.
Thank you. Whenever it's silent after I do something, I think, geez, that went over well. I love when you remain totally silent after I do a bit, Gian. It really punctuates the humor that we were going for. There it is. Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
I don't really care because I will drop 400 threes or 300 threes too. No one else can do what I do. Disney songs and family. Screw you all. You are so jealous. I drop 73 wins and you scream 3-1. You idiots. I'm about to win a title and that's all there is. Kiss my... I don't say that. I'm Steph Curry. By the way, here's Steph Curry talking about the extra time that they're going to have getting ready for the playoffs.
Got to prepare yourself accordingly. There's a lot of time in between, so you got to stay mentally sharp and understand how to keep your bodies right in between games. But, only thing that really matters right now is game one. So you got to be able to start off on a good foot, kind of set the tone for the series, and protect our home court.
By the way, we talked a little bit about how this year, maybe Oracle Arena hasn't shook like it did. What I believe they're going out of their way over the Bay Area News Group to honor and do a little feature on the We Believe Warriors. It's the 10-year anniversary of We Believe.
Oh, okay.
And look, I'm going to tell you right now that Oracle Arena got louder than Assembly Hall. And do you understand how almost sacrilegious that is for me to say? I mean, Assembly Hall is built to be loud. The whole thing is built to where if you're on the court, the sound pours down on you like a waterfall. I think the loudest building I've ever heard in my sports life was during the We Believe run when Baron Davis threw down a dunk on Andre Kirilenko. It is the loudest I've ever heard a building, a basketball court, ever, ever. It was insane. And, is it as insane now as it was then? No. But here's the deal. The only way a building ever gets that loud is if you're starving. Warriors fans aren't starving anymore. As a matter of fact, they're the first team in NBA history to serve their fans 67 wins 3 years in a row to enjoy and digest. You can't be starving when you're winning at a historical clip. The guttural yelp that had us falling in love with Roracle cannot be duplicated when you've won a title, then 73, now you got Kevin Durant. And everyone knows you're the chalk that's supposed to talk the whole way through. I would much rather have it like this than like that, although that was amazing, and I'm really glad I saw. By the way, we are not the only ones who are noticing this. Here is Curry talking about what he hopes Oracle will become again this postseason.
If it's not crazy and loud and, just blowing the roof off as we chase, that ultimate goal every step of the way, I'd be a little disappointed. It's huge for us to... That's why we want that number one seed, so that obviously we start every series at home. But big games, deciding games, we can feed off our crowd's energy, and we're chasing something. We're not protecting anything this year, so we gotta be ready and hopefully that atmosphere is a reflection of that.
The chase begins on Sunday. We're looking forward to it. By the way, Steve Kerr says that he prefers the Sunday start, so whatever they want, that's what they get. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We'll remind you tomorrow that when you hear Tim Roy on acid, you're going to have a chance to win Warrior playoff tickets, but that's tomorrow. Meanwhile, thank you very much for today. David Forst was a great guest. Albie Bouton-Vixon, new intern Greg, who apparently does a morning show, but since we don't get up in the morning, it's our first time meeting him. He's worked here for 6 years. Who knew? Thank you very much, Gianna, and all of you. We're going to be back tomorrow. In the meantime, our buddy Chris Townsend's coming up next with the A's Dugout Show. Remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Happy birthday to you. Score!
Michael Parsons!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.